went to the funeral of that great saint at Mount Albert Baptist Church, which she'd been a member for 70 years, over 70 years. There were just 40 people there. One third were family members, one third were members of my mission WEC, and one third were elderly members of the church. She was tiny in stature, but she was a giant. I want to talk about her because no one else will, probably again, in a church. The eulogies are given at the funeral were inadequate and showed that the speakers didn't know what had actually happened in her life. She was a farmer's daughter from Wahi. She became a Christian in 1937, began nursing in 1943, heard the call to medical missions in 1952, did a tropical medicine training in Liverpool and then French language study in Switzerland. Pat finally arrived in 1955 in Congo, and she arrived just after the great East African revival that swept through the country. And on arrival, Pat enjoyed the powerful testimony of deliverance and praise of the African church at the time. She worked in a number of mission stations, often on her own, doing leprosy work, midwifery, evangelism, and Bible teaching. In 1964, there was a rebellion in the newly independent Congo called the Simba Uprising. And in that month of August of that year, she was traveling to Wamba mission station as the rebellion began. And the Lord spoke to her and said that dreadful things, I quote, that dreadful things were going to happen, that I would suffer, that I'd be rescued, and I would see my parents again. I read Psalm 121, prayed, and had peace, and continued my journey to Wamba. The rebels arrived at Wamba a week later, shouting and shooting in the air, and Pat was held captive for 4.5 months in various locations in the area, during which she was threatened, badly beaten, and other things happened to her that I can't tell you in the room. Towards the end of 1964, the rebels heard of the Belgian soldiers and mercenaries coming to get them, and they got desperate. And some of the male WEC missionaries were murdered at that time. At Wamba, when Pat was there, 25 Roman Catholic priests were murdered and shot. On the 30th of December, the women were lined up to be shot, including Pat. And Pat tells the story. Each of us was asked where we will come, where we came from. And I said in French, I come from a little country on the other side of the world called New Zealand. And the rebels said to the others in Swahili, she comes from the ends of the earth. As he said that, he didn't know, but I knew Swahili. I recall Psalm 61, verse 2. From the ends of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And immediately I began to praise God in my heart because I knew that he was in control. I didn't in fact know that at that very moment mercenaries were creeping up the road. And suddenly, in seconds, after saying, thinking this and praising this, there was a sound of gunfire. And the rebels burst into the room. And the mercenaries burst into the room, and the rebels fled. I mentioned Pat's funeral, and she was rescued. I mentioned Pat's funeral because her funeral last week was her second. A memorial service was held in 1964 at Mount Albert Baptist Church, as she'd been reported killed in the newspapers in New Zealand. When she was reported alive, the Prime Minister that day, K. Keith Holyoake, rang up her father at midnight on New Year's Day to tell them that his daughter was free and set free. The New Zealand government paid for a first-class ticket home back to New Zealand. During her time back in New Zealand, she was touched by the charismatic renewal. And after a period of time, Pat returned to Congo and served the Lord for many years, including at a mission station at Maningweer. There she built up and ran on her own a small forest hospital. She trained her own nurses, all run on donations from New Zealand and the tiny sums that she could recoup from the African patients, which was very difficult at 2% inflation a day. She carried out minor operations, treated lepers, saved the lives of hundreds of African women and babies using her midwifery skills. She spoke four languages and ministered in all of them. I had the privilege of serving in Congo with Pat. Our terms of service overlapped by just 1 year. When she retired to New Zealand in 1991, after 36 years of service, worn out by her service and increasing health issues, and I think still suffering from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, from her captivity. Back home in New Zealand after retirement, she worked in Mount Albert Baptist Church doing pastoral visitation, teaching English to second language, helping refugees, leading Bible studies into her 90s. Earlier this month, Pat received no earthly honors, but she entered into the presence of her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and continues her earthly service in eternal praise. I don't know about you, but I'm challenged by the life of Pat Holdaway, and I could say a lot more because there's no time. But maybe your version of Christianity leaves no room for sacrifice and faith, and is merely a lifestyle option for wholesome living. But I actually believe that Pat Holdaway's life is more in tune with the text of the New Testament than much of what we see in our own churches. As Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And Pat's ministry was powerful amongst the Africans because they saw that she'd walked the talk. They knew what happened to her. I leave that with you. I just wanted to say it out aloud in the heavenly places as well as on the earthly places. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you.